from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 and 16 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" Let's be the reading of this word.
Friends, will you join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts collectively be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week in worship, we read about discipleship. And we read about evangelism. And we read about how Jesus called the disciples to go out and to proclaim that the kingdom of God exists and is drawing near. And we read about how he still calls us to do that same mission of proclaiming today, the mission of spreading that good news of resurrection and love and joy and hope and peace and justice. And this week's scripture expands this notion of who it was that was following Jesus. So when we think of Jesus' followers in the Bible, a lot of times we think about these 12 apostles. But there were many, many other people. And we get a glimpse of that when we think about the feeding of the many on the hillside where he broke bread and distributed bread and fish to 5,000. And so we have this glimpse that there are so many more people in the Bible who are following Jesus regularly. And in this morning's scripture, we read about the sending out of the 70, these Jesus followers who participated in a kind of internship with Jesus, a training in ministry and mission. And their mission was the same as Jesus's, which was to cure the sick and to say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." And so Jesus gathers them together, and he sends these 70 out two by two for mutual support and encouragement. And this is an important thing to notice about this morning's scripture, that to do the work that we're called to do, it's best not to go it alone. It's best to have a friend, an encourager, community in the process. And so the two big themes that I would like to draw out for this morning from this morning's scripture are these: blessing and hospitality. And there's this relationship between blessing and hospitality that's very strong in the scripture. So after he's sent them out on their journey, Christ calls on these 70 to bless the homes that they enter. So they are to go to these houses, they're supposed to carry nothing with them, and they go to these homes and they say, "Peace be upon this house, peace to this house." And what a way to enter spaces. What a way to enter spaces that these followers went into, to set an intention and a prayer as they walk through the thresholds of these homes. Earlier this morning at the outdoor worship service, I invited folks who were gathered there to think about this. What might it look like if we are the kinds of people who, when we enter into spaces, we enter into them with blessing, with an intention of peace? What might it look like to say such a short prayer before we go into one another's homes, or before we walk into a conference room or a cafe or a library or a waiting room? Whether we say a short intentional prayer out loud, "Peace be upon this house," or whether we say it in the silence of our hearts, how might setting intentions like that draw the Holy Spirit nearer and change the ways that we are in a space? So I find that when I'm feeling negatively about entering into a space, that negative energy radiates off me and is most likely to be picked up by the people around me. After all, so much of our communication is nonverbal. So when we have these strong feelings, like not wanting to enter into a space, it's likely that those feelings are picked up by others. Even if I'm saying all the right things, if I don't want to be someplace, it's likely that it's going to show. But to set an intention of peace and blessing before entering a space can make all the difference in how we are in that space. When I was working in chaplaincy at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania, I had a patient who I will admit I really did not feel good about visiting. The woman, when I would visit her afterwards, I would feel unsettled, intimidated, and she was always really hard to read. I could never tell if she wanted me to be there longer or leave right now. Brief visits with her always left me feeling uneasy and radically incompetent. So each workday, as I made my rounds on the cardiac ICU, I found myself avoiding her room, just waiting until the end of the rounds to visit her. And by that time, I would be really anxious about going into her room. And I likely wasn't able to be my most present and attentive self. So I decided that that approach was not working, and I needed to try something new. So I took to heart this direction from Jesus that he gave his 70 followers from this morning's scripture. I needed to actively change the way that I was entering into this patient's space. I needed to set an intention of blessing. So from then on, as I approached this woman's room, as I walked down the long hallway to get to her room, I would say "peace" over and over in my mind. And I would visualize this warm peace filling up the room, entering into the room as the door was opened, filling the space with a spirit of calm and love and tranquility. And it worked. By changing the way that I was within the space, by centering my own presence in an intention of peace and blessing, my visits with this woman changed completely. I was more grounded, and thus more able to pick up on the nuances of her communication, more able to be present to what she was saying in her words and in her body language. The visits became meaningful and enjoyable, and they were no longer something that I dreaded at the end of my rounds. They were something that was truly an enjoyable part of my day. When we choose to follow Jesus' directions and bless these spaces that we enter throughout our day-to-day lives, we change our own attitude and posture to be outward-facing and to be this conduit and this vessel of love in a space. And in that act of blessing, we also do another thing. We acknowledge the Spirit, and we call upon that Spirit to be present with us. In blessing a space, we do two things. We notice where we do have power over our own self and how we are in a room, our behavior and our intentions. And we notice also where we do not have power and need the presence of the Spirit. And these two bits of noticing, contrary to how so many people spend their lives, noticing what other people should change. So much of our lives, we go into spaces, we have poor interactions, and we think that person needs to change, rather than noticing how we can change ourselves and how we can invite God into our interactions and the spaces we're in. So when thinking of this notion of blessing, I invite you to think about these words that St. Teresa of Avila said. She said, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out onto the world, and yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now." What does it look like if we take this notion seriously, that Christ can work through us to bless the spaces that we enter, to set intentions of peace? The second theme I'd like to draw your attention to in this morning's scripture is this theme of hospitality. Jesus loves to engage in hospitality. A commentator once observed that in the Gospel of Luke, as the Gospel of Luke tells it, Jesus' ministry looks essentially like this. Jesus is either on his way to eat, eating, or just leaving the table. And this is a little bit of an overstatement, a little simplification, of course, but it really captures what the Gospel of Luke has to say about table fellowship, that Jesus dines with so many in this gospel. So according to this gospel narrative, sharing a meal is what is all about hospitality. Sharing a meal defines hospitality. As Luke tells it, the emphasis is not so much on how we are hosts to others necessarily. In Luke's gospel, it's a little bit flipped, and his emphasis is on being a gracious recipient. The art, you might say, is not so much in the technical skills of providing a fabulous meal for one another, though that is certainly amazing and appreciated. The art that the Gospel of Luke lifts up is more nuanced, and it is the act of receiving hospitality. And now, I recall watching a documentary a few years ago about a man who decided to set out on a journey across the United States with just $5 in his pocket. And his plan was that he would build relationships and connections with people such that over time he would make his way across the country thanks to acts of hospitality. And this is a kind of radical social experiment, but it's not unlike this morning's scripture. Jesus is telling his followers in this morning's scripture that a mark of being a Jesus follower is being gracious not only in giving hospitality, but in receiving it. It's a scripture that speaks to interdependence over independence. Our faith, our ability to bless one another, our ability to sit at a table together is all about relationships and realizing our connection to one another. So friends, this morning is a communion Sunday. And as you come to the table, to Christ's table, I invite you to remember this. You yourself are a blessing in this world, and you have a power to bless the spaces that you enter, to set intentions of peace everywhere you go. So may this morning's sacrament remind you of that blessing power that's within you. And along with that blessing power, you are called to engage in hospitality, not only as the one who serves others, but as one who receives the radical grace and peace and love of Jesus at his table, set for you. You are always invited to dine at that table of the greatest host, Jesus. Amen.